President Trump is definitely changing course on the environment. Yesterday, he put two controversial pipelines back on the agenda, the Keystone XL pipeline, which would carry oil from Canada to U.S. refineries, and the Dakota Access Pipeline. Both projects had been put on hold by the Obama administration. Brian Mann is a reporter with North Country Public Radio in New York State. Why does Prime Minister Justin Trudeau support the Keystone Pipeline, Brian?
Well, the energy sector is just a huge part of the Canadian economy, especially in Western Canada. It shapes the economy. It shapes politics there. And his government has been strongly behind the tar sands development in Alberta in particular. And so this is really in line with what his thinking has been all along. It's a bit jarring to American audiences who think of his liberal government as being more environmentally friendly. But this is not a huge surprise for Canadians.
On the surface, though, Justin Trudeau does talk a pretty good game about climate change. How does he square his support of Keystone XL and these pipelines with this environmental face?
Very awkwardly. And this is an issue that his government has struggled to narrate around. He's struggled to have a clear sort of political story to tell here with conservatives in his own country attacking him. On the one hand, he has really positioned Canada as a leader on climate reduction, wanting to partner with Europe and other players around the world as the United States appears ready to step back on climate change. But at the same time, he has been staunch in his support of domestic industries that create massive amounts of carbon. And, you know, the tar sands oil production, you know, some environmentalists in the U.S. have described that as being essentially game over, that if the full tar sands development goes forward, stopping the worst impacts of climate globally will be nearly impossible. So, yeah, it's a delicate dance and one he really works at day to day.
Yeah, it sounds like a 24/7 tightrope that he's walking. Trudeau said earlier this month that Canada must phase out Alberta's oil sands. That did not go down well with politicians in Alberta. He had to backtrack. How did he reconcile this with the politicians in Alberta?
Well, essentially, he said that he misspoke. And I think, you know, this gets right at the heart of it. He wants to be very forthright and very strong in talking about carbon reduction. But every time he really sticks his head up out of the foxhole, you know, he gets whacked by the fact that Alberta's industry is driven by this. But, you know, it's also true that a lot of social policy spending, healthcare, education across Canada is reliant on energy development, whether it's nuclear or hydro or oil. And a lot of that is piped directly down to the United States. You know, this relationship of oil pipelines and energy deliveries across all these other sectors, it really shapes what happens in Ottawa, what happens in all the provinces.
Yeah. And in this whole discussion, obviously, our First Nations people, the Canadian natives, many of whom have ancestral lands that are either on or near tar sands. Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, said Donald Trump would sit down with all parties involved in the Dakota pipeline. Put yourself in the shoes of those First Nations people in Canada, Brian. What would they want to hear from Donald Trump, if anything?
Well, one of the things that's fascinating about this is that the First Nations people in Alberta have been more on board with energy development. They've expressed real reservations. They've talked about the environment. Oftentimes, they have been the sole voice in talking, you know, really about the protection of the land in Alberta. But at the same time, a lot of Athabascan-owned companies are part of the oil industry now. They have had huge economic development within their own communities, jobs. And so this plays very differently in this part of Canada as well when you compare it to what we've seen on the ground in the Dakotas in the U.S.
Is Justin Trudeau going to pay a political price for this alliance with Trump?
I do think that there is a symbolic price that Justin Trudeau could pay here. But I think it's important to remember that Canadians writ large have always kind of had this deal with natural resource extraction in their country. Canadians have enormous economic and social service benefits that come directly from doing things to the environment that would shock many Americans. Mm. The clear-cut tree harvesting that's done there, the massive hydro development in northern Canada that has wiped out whole regions of Quebec's wild landscape. Those are things that Canadians have agreed to over the years because of all of those benefits to their pocketbook. So I think that the dance that Justin Trudeau is doing here, this is a dance that all Canadians have been doing for a really long time.
Brian Mann, a reporter with North Country Public Radio in upstate New York. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Marco.